Today we continue our study of the book of Ephesians. And Paul is making this turn to help us to understand more clearly and better. Oh, Chad is here. Hi, Chad. Were you here when they all applauded you? Do you want to give him a round of applause again? I'm going to pay dearly for that. He's learned 32 different ways how to kill people without a weapon, and I'm doing this to him. Yeah, just very proud. Paul's made this turn to help us to understand individually and corporately how it is that we need to be the church. And as he's made this turn in this book of Ephesians, he is getting us right into the heart of it, I feel, in the fourth chapter, and I hope you've been reading this along at home as well, because there is so much in here that I don't want you to miss. But for today's sake, I'd like us to look at the 25th through 32nd verse of the fourth chapter. Therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to his neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. He who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. May the Lord bless this portion from his holy word. One of the things that I enjoy the most about my ministry with the men and women of the Fire EMS Service of Hanover County is the fact that as a rule, firefighters tend to be blunt. Scott? Yeah, they are. they tend to say what they're thinking, and they don't tend to take a lot of words to say what it is that they are thinking. And there's something a little refreshing about that, because you don't have to like go home and an hour later trying to figure out, well, what did he really mean by that? That's never the issue, or rarely is the issue. And I remember when I was in the first year or so that I was serving as a chaplain with Hanover Fire EMS, I was visiting in one of the stations. And one of the guys sitting across the table from me just lays into me about all the reasons why he doesn't go to church. And he just, you know, laid it all out. You know, they're all hypocrites, they're all this, they're all that, and everything like that. And after like 10 minutes, I had no idea what I should say. The next day, though, I came up with the right answer. I came up with what I should have said. I should have said, well, what surprises you about the fact that we're imperfect people? What surprises you about the fact that the church is filled with people who don't live their lives the way that they intend to or want to? And I wanted to say, you know what? There's always room for one more hypocrite in the church. And that's what, you know, Paul is trying to help us to see something here. And over the course of the years, we have tried to figure out what it means to be the church in many different aspects of that. But one of the most challenging aspects of it is, how do we deal with the fact that we are imperfect? How do we deal with the fact that there is not a single congregation out there that is filled with perfect Christians. And there's not a single congregation out there that corporately together does the work of Jesus Christ perfectly well. How do we deal with that? Oh, they've come up with all sorts of ways of talking about it theologically, and they have used all sorts of different terms to talk about it. They've talked about it in terms of the church militant versus the church triumphant, that the church in the here and now is still at work. It's a work in progress. They talk about all sorts of different ways of talking about the church visible, meaning, you know, the church that you see, but the real church is invisible. It's the church that you cannot distinguish. That God's work is through the church invisible, in spite of the church visible. They talk about the eschatological nature of the church. That the church is the body of Christ here and now, but it is yet to become the body of Christ. That there is that time continuum issue, that we are the redeemed of God, but yet God is still redeeming us. They use all sorts of different ways of talking about it, but push comes to shove, the reality is simply this. We need to look at ourselves humbly. We need to recognize that God is not finished with us yet. That in each and every one of us, God has work still to do. And that there are parts of our lives and there are times in our lives that we still have not fully turned over to God yet. There are parts of our lives yet that still remain imperfect, still remain soiled by sin, to use that old phrase, that those parts of ourselves that we have yet to conquer as much as we want to conquer. And so Paul, when he's writing to the church at Ephesus, and as you recall, when we talked about the church at Ephesus, that it was one of the stronger congregations that Paul wrote to. It wasn't like Corinth, where everything was falling apart and people were arguing and fighting and fussing and feuding and all that sort of stuff. Ephesus is a good church. It's a fine church. It's a strong church. And I think that's one of the reasons Paul wrote to Ephesus to offer this circular letter to the other congregations is because he chose the strongest church there to send this letter to, so that they could be an example and send it out to the others. So we're not talking about a church that is in turmoil. We're not talking about a church that is challenging. We're talking about a good, healthy church. But yet, when Paul is writing to them, he recognizes that there is still yet work to do. So Paul talks with them about the things that they must be working on. About putting off falsehood, speaking truth in a loving manner, and not letting unwholesomeness come out of their mouths, and not grieving the Holy Spirit by the way that they do things. And so what Paul is doing is he is recognizing the fact that the church at Ephesus, a good, strong, vibrant congregation, still has a way to go. I think Fairfield is a good, strong, vibrant congregation with so many good things going on. But we got a ways to go. We are the church, and we're becoming the church. We are the people of God, and we are yet to become the people of God. God is still working in and among us individually and corporately together to become the people that He's called us to be. We are always a work in progress. Always ways that we can learn and grow about being the church and about being Christians within the church. And one of the things that we do to remind ourselves of that, yes, we are, but yet we are becoming, is this simple celebration that we have. The sharing of this table, this simple meal. For as we take the bread and drink of the cup, we are reminded that we are a part of the body of Christ, loved and redeemed by our Savior Jesus Christ, that His willingness to die for us paid the price for our sins. But yet as we take this bread and drink this cup, we are also reminded that we are not perfect yet. We come with humility to this table, recognizing where we have fallen short, recognizing where we have yet to grow and to become as Christians. This simple meal, this simple celebration, is a reminder of what we are and what we are yet to become. So as we come to this table this day, let us do so in the unity that it offers to us, that we're all part of one body. But let us also do so in the humility that reminds us of how far we have fallen short of being the people that God has called us to be. Would you pray with me? O God of grace and God of mercy, we thank You for the gift of Your Son, Jesus Christ, who while we were yet sinners, was willing to die for us. That reminds us of how far we have fallen short of being the people You have called us to be. But yet, Lord, You have called us to be Your sons and daughters, and so we are. A people called out, a people called apart to be Your people in this world. Help us, O Lord, to recognize our shortcomings and to see how much we have yet to grow. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.